good to see everyone here. Does anybody need a handout? This is 7 and 8. So what we've been doing is we've been getting... Did you need some?
Sure.
Okay. I have 3 left. Can you take yours?
3? I'll take 2 more. Yeah.
Now you want Freya didn't get one.
This is my call for class.
Hello.
Before we get started, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you for the gift of your word, and we're thankful for the instruction that it provides us, and for the peace that we can get through your word. We pray that as we study about how to study your word, that we'll do so in a manner that's pleasing to you, and the way that will uplift and encourage us, and learn in a way that will draw us closer to you as your children. We pray that you'd continue to watch over us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been talking the last several weeks about ways to study the Bible. And so we've talked about John Wycliffe's way of saying to find a reliable text, understand the logic of Scripture, comparing parts of Scripture with other parts, continue to humbly seek the truth, and receiving instruction of the Spirit. So that's been kind of setting the stage for why we're doing this, what we can learn through it. And so now we're going to get down to actually doing a study. So today's lesson, chapter 7, it talks about that the goal of word study is to learn as much as possible about specific words used throughout the Bible. We're focusing just on doing this in English, but these steps could be taken in the original languages as well, with some more study aids. We will find the definitions, occurrences, and uses of particular words. The next section that we have there says some tools. So, like everything, I think every one of us has been in school of some form or another, and we find that there's tools that we use for studying, right? What's some of the things that we might use?
Dictionary.
That's an important one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You need to know what word means in English, especially if that's the language we speak, right? That's what we use. So a dictionary is good. What else is good?
Notebook.
Very good. To jot things down.
Pens and pencils.
Writing instrument, right. You got to be able to record what you're going to study. Specifically for Bible studying, what kind of things would we need?
A Bible.
A Bible. Yeah, that's a pretty much a no-brainer, huh? We need a Bible, and it helps, too, to have different translations, doesn't it? Now, translations we talked about in our first class, so we're not going to hash over that a lot, but the idea of having several translations is you can see how some different words are used for, you know, by translators. So what I've got is this morning I've actually brought some props for class, so just to give us some ideas, this is a Bible dictionary, okay? Very handy for looking up Bible-type words. So, Bible dictionary is helpful. We had talked about different translations. So, I have, this is an example of the New American Standard Bible. Now, one of the things that we didn't mention is a concordance. Now, what is a concordance?
Yeah, the word exhausted there is pretty apropos. What I've got is
yes. Yes. And so a concordance tells you where a word is used. And most of your Bibles will have a concordance, usually in the front or the back, that will say, okay, you look up a key word, and then it'll give you passages where that's at. So that's helpful to have as well. Most of your Bibles and study type Bibles will have that. This is another type of dictionary. It's called an illustrated dictionary. This one too is Bible, and this one has a few more pictures and things. So there's, you know how the saying goes, it's kind of like a picture's worth a thousand words.
We'll just throw it at him.
Also, in studying, has anyone heard of a Strong's dictionary? What's a Strong's?
No, I did not.
Strong's is a guy.
Pardon?
It says it's an exhaustive concordance of the life.
You know, your daughter does that in class. When she does the books of the Bible, she reads them. So, Strong's, what Strong's does is there's a translation of the Bible that has little numbers next to a number of words in a passage. And they'll be, those numbers refer, those are called Strong's numbers. And what those do is if you look up that number corresponds to different definitions of things. And I'll go into that a little bit more. This one can be a little intimidating looking. I'll try not
especially
to
if you throw
that.
It at people.
Especially if you throw it right. But it catches you. So, and then again, some other, there's all sorts of tools we can use. This is called a narrated Bible. Any idea what a narrated Bible might be?
The
man pops out and reads it to you. Yeah, actually, in this one, there's what you'll find is at the beginning of each passage, there's kind of a setting the stage, so kind of telling you what's going to happen. Now, one of the reasons I bought this Bible is because it's in chronological order, which is a little bit easier, perhaps, to sometimes study. So. This is.
We have one of those, but it seems to me it's more confusing than the regular. Somebody said it was supposed to be the easier, but it's.
I think that happens in the New Testament more than the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, what you'll have is you'll have like. For example, when it talks about the law, you end up in. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those kind of start sounding the same. When you're looking at First and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles, those are actually reporting the same events in history, so sometimes those get a little confusing. And the idea of the chronological is it kind of puts those together.
It also brings the prophets in where they're theoretically thought to be.
Right, where the prophets are, where the book of Job falls, you know, different things like that. So it's kind of an informational thing, and that's kind of just a tool.
Just gives you a different perspective.
Right. Here's another one. I found this one just at a yard sale and was kind of intrigued by it. It actually has a number of colorful things, and it shows different points about different terminologies and phrases that are used in the Bible that we may not be familiar with. And there's pictures of, for example, I believe this is the one that talks about temple money. Have you ever heard the term temple money? Temple money was the type of money they used in the temple. Imagine, that's why it's called temple money. But what makes it so different is there's no graven image on it. Because remember, the commandments, shall have no graven images. So this temple money looks almost like what we would call a slug. It's just a weight of silver or a weight of whatever metal. And so it has no image on it. It doesn't have, you know, a person's image on it or anything like that. And so that was one of the things I learned there. This is one thing that I found kind of helpful. And this has a wall chart of history. And this was put together actually by I believe it was a Catholic priest back around the 4th century or something. And so he kind of started it, and it's been built on. But this one goes on, and it actually opens up. And as it opens up, it takes you from creation, and it branches out, and you can see where different parts of history are. You can see what's concurrent in Roman history with New Testament times and then it goes back and with like the with the Greeks and even shows the Asian history. But this is, again, these are just examples of different tools. Now, this is a lot of stuff, and I don't know how many of you have this much stuff to kind of work with, but this is an accumulation of, you know, 40 years of getting things. What I want to show you is there's some software tools out there that are helpful for studying the Bible. And so what I'm going to do is share an insider secret with you. Preachers, teachers, people that prepare for classes, we don't know everything. I know that's hard to believe. We don't know everything. So what are some ways that we prepare for things? So what I have now is an audio visual. You guys didn't know we had AV in here, did you? Yeah.
I know. Some of us did learn.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some of the tools that I found useful for Bible study. And as soon as this warms up, wakes up, comes on. There it is. I'm going to turn these lights off to make that help us a little bit.
Hey, look at you.
Oh, that's me. Must be my computer. Does everyone in here basically have a computer at home, something that they use? I know a lot of people use phones, things like that. So this tool here, it's called eSword. This is a very helpful tool for studying. And I'm going to just, again, I'm not trying to sell it. There is a basic version of this that is free, and you can get various Bible translations, you can get various concordances, you can get dictionaries, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of things on here, and what I'm trying to do is I'm wanting to share this with you, because like I said, I don't think everybody has a whole library of dictionaries and Strong's things and all those. So let's look at some of these things. With eSword, like I said, has a basic free version. You can buy upgrades to it, and you know, that's all up to you. I had to pay extra to get the new King James Version, for example. And what it is when you sign up with this, they ask for an email. They don't really pester you, but they keep kind of it's like having an account. And so when you buy things, it goes against your account. And so when you go and change computers, because we all know that computers die after a little while, you can kind of, they'll have a record of what you previously bought, and you can transfer it over to your next computer. And there's also instructions on doing that. This is about the fourth or fifth computer I've had this on. It starts off with a little tip. There's a bunch of tips and stuff on this. It looks like a lot once we get going, but I think you'll see that there's actually some pretty valuable tools on here. Some of the things that we talked about in our first class, we talked about using various versions. That's what these tabs here are. This is the American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, King James. This King James Plus has the Strong's numbers, the New King James, and this is one thing that's very handy. You can do a compare. And so what that shows you is, for example, just in this particular text, it shows us what the translation is for ASV, ESV, King James. These are those Strong numbers we were talking about, and the New King James. Now, we had talked about Strong's and how that it's been around for a long time. Strong's is used primarily with King James. There is a New King James Version of the Strong's Dictionary, but what it is somebody painstakingly went through and found all these, numbered all these things according to this. So, for example, if we look up,
every word of
like launch out here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you hover over it, it tells you what it is. That's the original Greek. That's how to pronounce it. And then it shows you how many times it's in the King James Version, and it tells you that it's also in the Strong's Hebrew and Greek. So if you click on it, it shows that it just hovered, it shows here. So we had said something about launch out is what we're talking about, and it talks about to lead up to, and technically to put out to sea, you know, launching out type thing. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. We can look at Biden's New Testament. Oops. Okay, Biden's didn't have it. Let's see if Webster's has it. These dictionaries and stuff, I have bought a couple of those, but I think it comes with the basic Webster's dictionary, and I believe it has Vines in the base package. So those are handy tools there. All right, I'm just going to keep on with the Torah on this. I do have some other things that we're going to do as kind of an exercise here to help you prepare for next class. Next class is on the back of the thing that we passed out today. It's chapter 8, and so we'll get into that. That's talking about a word study. And the word study that we're going to be using for that is meditate. I'm not going to use meditate because you guys are going to get to do that work. So, no, it's meditate. What is a commentary? Anybody have an idea of what a commentary is?
Someone's thoughts on the matter.
Someone's thoughts on the matter. Okay. Does anybody know of any commentaries, Bible commentaries, that they've used before, perhaps?
My dad.
Your dad? Okay. Commentaries are handy. And one of them that's very common is called the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary. And I believe this one comes with this this e-sword. And so what it is it shows you, like in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, this is a commentary of what the person wrote, talking, kind of telling, explaining what's going on, some of the things that this commentator thinks is being taught here. Now, what's one of the important things to keep in mind with the commentary?
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion, that's correct. Now, it doesn't mean that they're always wrong. But sometimes if you're struggling with a passage, it helps to look and see what other people thought. So I have the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary. This is the Matthew Henry, which is not as concise. Somebody went through with the Matthew Henry and kind of condensed what he was saying, because he can be very wordy. He can go on. So I also have the Matthew Henry one. There's another one that's called the Believer's Bible Commentary, and again, compare. That's one of the ways that we learn is through comparison. And a lot of what we're talking about with this and me showing you these tools, our focus next week is a word study, but these are tools that we can use for other studies. So that's kind of why I'm showing you. So, commentaries, the Schofield Commentary is a popular one as well, and then different cross-references and stuff. So, those are some fun tools. Now, one of the other tools that this e-sword has that is handy is you can do, down in the lower right, you can do journal notes, study notes, and topical notes. And, for example, the lesson I did at the Lord's Supper this morning, I did that under the topical notes. And what you can do is you can name it, and then you can put your notes in there. And what I did on this one is I basically titled it, and then in here is all of my notes on it. I went ahead and copied and pasted different verses in here. Because one of the things that's very handy about this software package is that you can go into like the ASV and you can say, okay, I want to copy some verses. I'm going to start here with Luke 5. And then it lets you copy different formats. You can have it where it's at the bottom of the verse, you can have it there, you can have it at the top of the verse. So there's different things you can do. And sometimes that helps if you're taking notes, you know, we mentioned pen and paper, that's fine. But sometimes you might be more comfortable in a spread or a word processor or something. And like I said, the notes section of this eSword is a nice place to do that as well. You can do what they call journal notes. You can do the other things. But the topical notes I like to do. If you want to copy more than one verse, you can say, okay, I want to look at 11 to 13. It'll go ahead and copy those in there. Again, it'll keep the words of Jesus in red. You can then copy, and let's see, let me create a new topic. This is just a test. So when I do this, it's going to give me a new worksheet or new area down here. I said to copy that. I can paste it in here, and I can have the same thing. And then I can, if I want to just highlight things, I can say follow him, and then you can highlight. There's different highlight options you can do, different colors, there's different color fonts, all these things, which sometimes will help you in your study. If you want to go back and look at something, you might highlight something a different color, different bold, italicized, things like that. So this is kind of a tool. Like I said, I'm not trying to sell this. This is just something that I find helpful. We had mentioned commentaries and how some of the commentaries are very opinionated, and so we have to watch out for that. Sometimes it's helpful to see what someone else has to say about something. And the internet, of course, is the internet. And so there's a lot of things that we may not want on there. Oops. And let's see. And again, I'm kind of showing inside secrets to some of these things that we do. These are some of my documents, and this is one that I have that I've been using for this class. I know I put something in here, so what I'm looking for. And a lot of these things I copied from that eSword to copy in here for different notes. Sorry about this, I'm kind of stumbling here. Okay, I'm going to just go to sometimes it's nice to know what a particular preacher might have to say about something. The gentleman over in Florida, whose name is Mark Copeland, he's a gospel preacher, member of the Church of Christ, and he has put together throughout the course of his preaching a lot of material. And sometimes it's nice to see what someone has to say about things. He has topical sermons, he has Bible study guides, he has a lot of things. And again, I'm not saying that this guy is 100% accurate, but you find a lot of helpful information. And so by doing this, you can look at, for example, Bible study guides. And what this is he's gone through, and in the course of, I don't know, how long has he been preaching, even over it?
Probably 40 years.
At least 40
like
years. He attended Florida College down there. Brittany actually went to church where he preached for a couple of years in Florida, and very nice man. And like I said, he has a lot of helpful things. So if there's a book that you want to look at, or something like that. Sometimes it helps to have a little help. And so we have, he has a lot of, all of this stuff is in like a PDF format. So he goes through and he tells things. And like I said, this stuff like this helps. Now I know Roger has a lot of information too. I don't know how much of it he has online. I know there's a lot of things on our website. Same basic thing. Go to our website and look at stuff. We've got information on there as well. But these are just some tools, some ideas, some things that will hopefully help in this. Anybody have any questions? Let's look up a word, okay? I was trying to think of a word that is one that we don't use every day.
Trespass.
Pardon?
Trespass.
Trespass, that'd be a good one. Let's go ahead and just see what, let's go into our Webster version. And trespass. And what are some variants on that word? Trespassing, trespasser, there's, you know, different things like that. So trespass, we have some definitions of it here. Literally, to pass beyond. Okay, to pass beyond. Hence, primarily to pass over the boundary line of another's land, to enter unlawfully upon the land of another, namely trespass by walking. So that's, we have an idea of what the word is. Now, one thing we mentioned was a concordance, right? Mm-hmm. How do we know where it says trespass? Well, this is a nice little feature. This little, the little binoculars here. We can say we want to look up trespass. So trespass, we can say what version we want to do it. We can say, we can look for a particular phrase if we want. We can decide where we want to look in the Bible. And this is kind of handy because sometimes you may be primarily interested in New Testament. Maybe you're looking for Old Testament. You may want to look at all of it. So this is nice in that it breaks it down. The breakdown that we see under Old Testament is something that we're probably, a lot of us are familiar with. Pentateuch meaning the law, right? The old law. The history, wisdom, major prophets, minor prophets. New Testament's handy there because it has the Gospels and Acts, Paul's letters, general letters, and the book of Revelation. So you can reduce your search down by that. We're going to just go ahead and search for everywhere to see where it pops up. So as soon as we hit search, did you miss that? So the computer doesn't do everything, huh? Okay. There we go. So now under trespass we can see, and this basically will go from Genesis to Revelation. So you'll see it sorted in that order. And it's nice because it highlights the word for you. And so as you can see, there's a number of... this starts getting a little weird, and I don't know if it's my computer or what, but it's like, it's kind of getting a little scrambled down there. But you can see that trespass happens a lot of places, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And it does happen Old and New Testament. And then it tells us down here how many occurrences it found it in. So this is like an online concordance. So a lot faster than flipping through and finding, okay, trespass, and it's here. And this is nice too because you can read each of these scriptures to see what, if it's the word you're looking for. And let's change this up a little bit. Let's see what it says about, let's say not trouble. Oops, not trespass. And see how that affects our search. Okay, now in this, if you notice in Leviticus 5:7, it has not there and then trespass is several words over. perhaps we're looking more for the phrase. So if we change this to be search for the exact phrase and search again. Oh, there is none. There's no place where it says not trespass. But that, these are tools that will help us to help us in our study. There's another, I think it's an app is what it is for your phone, that's not quite as robust as this eSort is, and it's called YouVersion. Is anyone familiar with that?
That's the one I use.
I thanked you twice for it.
Yeah. You what?
I thanked you twice.
Yes, YouVersion
is really good for daily reading.
It is. It's really good for daily reading. You can actually, I don't have it on a, I don't have it on the laptop because it's a phone app. But it's got this little Holy Bible thing on it. And again, it's on the App Store. This one's free. What you'll find with eSword and with YouVersion is if you use it, if you want to donate, they'll gladly take donations, which I've actually contributed a few times to some of these things. But with YouVersion, it has a little, I call it kind of like a Facebook type thing where you can actually look for people that you know in here. And so you can find people like Paige Neilbeck's on here. Amber Carlson's on here. So Josh Metzler's in here. There's some people that you may know that it'll ask you if you want a friend with them. I actually tried to find Julie. There's like 50 Julie Coxes
yes.
on there.
I'm still private. I've always been private.
So what that does is you can actually, you'll get little messages saying so-and-so finished this reading program, or someone highlighted this verse or this passage and things like that. So those are just some of the, fluff might be a little strong word, but those are things that can help encourage you with other people. There's also what they call Bible plans. That's this little check mark here. And what that is you can actually search for plans. So perhaps you're wanting to learn more about leadership or love or hope or different things. There's different reading passages. I'm in the midst of reading one that's called Eat This Book, kind of a weird title for a book. But what, or a reading program, what it is it's reading the Bible in the order that it was kept under the Jews. So it doesn't go Genesis to Malachi, it goes Genesis to 2 Chronicles, which is kind of weird. But what it is it when you're going through it, you're doing it in the order that a Jew would have back in, the pre BCs. So, when you look at these, what it does is it gives you yes.
I found one that was about a lady who had cancer. So I was able to take the passages that she did, put them on cards, and they have been helping me just to make sure I stay focused and not get worldly. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of stuff in there.
It does, and. Now, one of the things, remember, commentators are what? Well, they're human.
Right.
So, what you'll find is in a lot of these studies, I'm not saying you can't use them, just make sure that you're aware that,
yeah.
you know, God's Word is God's Word. And so, people have put together a lot of
things.
They
do a lot of devotional things.
Yes.
And I'm reading through the Bible, and I just check it off. I don't usually read it. Because every time I go, well, let's see if they're... And I'd rather just do it myself.
So.
But they most all have a devotional start and then verses after it.
Right.
Now the cancer lady, I read all of those.
Right.
But it was only a 5-day study and I did it, in like 2 hours or whatever. So they have short, long.
Oh, and there's some that are like a week long, there's some that are like 3 days, and you can go
exactly.
by topic too. Which
right.
is fun.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of choices.
And the ones that are for reading are pretty much just you choose your version or you know the
mm-hmm.
translation you want to use, and it just it puts it in a order so that you can complete it within the time that they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, what you'll see is it highlights what day you're on,
right?
And it'll tell you where you're at, and then when you go to read, it shows you the passages you'll be reading, and then as you read them, when you push it, it takes you right there, so you can start reading it. When you read it, it takes you like the little green arrow after you finish the passage. It'll go through and then takes you to the next section, and then you can go to the next one, and then the last one will have a little check mark. When you do the little check mark, it goes back and says, okay, you've read that for the day. It has a little progress bar, kind of keep you encouraged, especially when you're going through the ones that are read the Bible in a year. It's like,
yeah, it
it's
doesn't
like,
move
when
a
will
lot.
I ever see it move?
Yeah.
You know, but that's a handy thing to have. You know, you get to see that you are making progress, and then it, you know, takes you back to where you are. And again, these are tools, these are guides. It's not like you have to take a full year to read the Bible. If you want to plow through it in 6 months, you can, you know, it gives you an order to follow, and you can go through it. And like you said, the devotional studies are good. I've read a couple on, you know, men's responsibilities and family and things like that. And like you said, the commentaries are good. That's usually people that were interested enough to put together this study. And basically what I'm saying is it's not necessarily a Church of Christ, you know, type thing, but it is still a very usable tool. There's lots of things that we can use on that. Anybody else have any comments? There's probably other tools out there.
A couple I've used in the past and I still use. Bible Gateway is one that you can get all the versions and you don't really have to pay, I think, on most of them.
Yeah.
But the one I like if I'm trying to study a verse so I can get Strong's is Blue Letter Bible. That one's really good. It has King James, you know, as their starting point, but it will do a lot of it. But that one's good because it has a part where it will give me give me all the Greek words and the numbers, and then I can click on them and get to what's the other it's Strong. It begins with a T. There's a commentary, not very great, but you know what I'm talking about. I can't remember.
I do.
It takes me there so I can define it there.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a good one if you're trying to search something and you just want the internet.
So Thayer's.
Thayer's.
Yeah.
That's right. Thanks. Yeah. So, and it's not something you would find. I mean, Thayer's isn't really a super source line for my own. People have told me that. Well, you can use it, but it's not your only source.
Yeah. I know that, like, for the talk I did this morning at the table, I just ran across that in my daily Bible reading. It's like I was reading along, and it was Psalm 31, and it's like, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's like, heard that somewhere before. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I kind of slowed down in my reading and started reading through that. And it's like, wow, this really fits. Now, I'm sure I'm not the first one to make that connection, but for me it was kind of exciting to actually find that and go, wow, you know, it turns a light on in your head, and it's like, that. I found something. And like I said, I doubt any of us are going to find anything unique. You know, we're not going to be the first ones to discover something. But when you're in there and you're studying, you're doing something, it's a lot more rewarding to be able to find something like that on your own and kind of follow through with it. But that, again, that's one of the importances of engaging daily. You know, just do something. We're not saying you have to read the Bible through in a year. That's a lot to do. Start with a couple of books. What might be a good couple of books to study?
James.
Mm-hmm. James is a good one. How about
Philippians?
Philippians. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about for
any of the Gospels?
Pardon?
Any of the Gospels.
Any of the Gospels. For a new Christian, I think that I like Luke and Acts.
Oh, yeah.
Because Luke is a writer who wrote the book of Luke. Golly, that's a coincidence, isn't it? But we know that he was a physician, right? We read about him in Acts. And what he did is when he wrote the Gospel of Luke, he wrote it to a man named Theophilus, who was a Greek. I mean, I don't know that any of us are really Jews in this room, but, you know, him writing it on a Greek level was assuming that the Greeks don't necessarily know a lot about Jewish traditions and stuff. You want to know about the Jewish traditions? Read Matthew, right? So that's good to go through the Gospels, but then what's good about the book of Acts?
Establishing the church.
So that's what we see in Luke. We see the life of Christ. We see the promises of Christ, promise of Christ coming, Christ's birth, his ministry, his crucifixion, you know, and then we see the establishment of the church that was based upon Jesus. And so that's a good study. So maybe just focus on a couple of books and start reading those.
That's what I did 1 year. I think I only read like 3 books of the Bible, but I would just go through and got to the end and I would just read them again. And so that kind of helped, because then it just is when you hear someone say a verse or two, it's kind of like, oh, I know where that is now. It's somewhere in Romans.
Especially when you do it on your phone or tablet, because you can't.
Right, yeah, it's not
anymore.
Like it's on the right hand side up in the corner somewhere.
Yeah. It's
on my phone.
Can't find them now.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that location.
Oh, yeah.
I can find things in the Bible if I have my old King James.
Yeah, that's the old one.
I know it's over here. And I know it's somewhere in this section.
Where does that go?
Can't do that on the phone. It's on that section. Well, they're all on that section.
Keep scrolling.
Yeah.
One of the limitations about the... another thing you can do with YouVersion is you can just have the Bible. So that's what I use, you know, sitting in the pews or whatever. Because
it also gives you a daily verse if you sign up for it.
Yes.
Today was a good one.
Today was a very good one for me. I was smiling as I was reading it. So it was Psalm 23
this morning.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good tools here. The one drawback I don't like is if you highlight it, it does the whole verse.
Yes,
and
I've seen that.
I don't like
don't
that
want
quite
thing.
As much. But again, it's like when I'm preparing for talk or preparing for a class or something, it's going to be a different set of verses, different reasons for highlighting and stuff. And so I do it on the e-sword and highlight what portion I want, emphasize what phrase or what.
It's not ready for... study in that sense for notes and stuff.
Yeah.
All that, you know, where you can do that. I have an answer for that.
For e-sort or for
YouVersion? No, for YouVersion.
Yeah, YouVersion doesn't really
It's pretty
have
much
a,
for reading, in my opinion. It's just reading.
Yeah, it doesn't have like this
yeah,
note area down
next
here.
To it.
Yeah. And the way I have this formatted, you don't have to format it in the quadrant. You can do it. I think you can do sections across, you can do different things. I'm not going to change mine because I don't remember how to unchange it. So. But you can kind of format it with whatever's comfortable for you. For a long time, what I would do is I would open up a word processor like Google Docs or Word or something like that. And I would copy and paste from there because the copy... paste functions work great in this, just like any other, you know, Microsoft compliant tool.
Yes.
It has all those things so that when you do that, it'll keep the same fonts, it'll keep the same, you know, colors, and then you can, you know, do what you want in that document. Another nice thing about if you do it in like a word processor or something, just create a file. This is my Bible study notes. You go in. Do what you want with it, store it how you want it. And then another nice thing though with this is I think you can search just your topical notes. Yes, so this actually, this is out of my various notes I have here. This is, I did a search for sacrifice, and it tells you all the passages you have that in. So that's kind of handy. So that might be another reason to do it in the in this e-sort.
So do you use e-sort on your tablet or just on your laptop?
I just use it on my laptop because there's not a version for the tablet. There is a version for iPhone, so if you're an iPhoner, you can use it for that. Now,
but that's hard to see on a phone.
Yes,
it is hard to see. Now,
issues this morning. With
yeah, Donna uses it on the phone, but what she said is that, because I was showing her kind of a little preview to this, and she goes, oh, well, I only see this, and then when I click on that, it takes it to a different,
different
display. So it's a little, the real estate, screen real estate on a phone is quite a bit small. So it's
right.
A little more.
Because I found this one this morning. Remember yesterday I was looking at the wrong one? Yeah. So, but on the phone, it looks nothing like that, and I'm thinking, it doesn't look the same.
Now, if you did it on your phone, you could probably go into the load it on your laptop or your computer, and it will probably work with your phone on. So,
I haven't been able to figure out how to use my laptop yet.
Oh, okay.
New laptop, old user. I can't figure out. It's Greek.
I just use the
Greek
dictionary. But I don't keep my notes. That was one thing I had just been borrowing to teach.
So, real quick, let's just talk a little bit about what next week's assignment is. So next week, if you guys would, I'd appreciate this because I'll be doing it too, but I don't want to do all the talking.
It's going to be a test.
Class.
It's going to be a test. I feel it coming.
No. So class 8 here, what we have is we'll have word to research is meditate. Meditates, meditation, we want to look at those things. Write out the English definitions for meditate. I think, again, you can use the Webster's. I'm not saying you have to use the online or the e-sword thing. I just find it a little quicker to do than I've been thumbing through all these references. Then it talks about list the occurrences in the Bible. And again, that's something we could search real quick and it'll show us. Talks about comparing translations of these passages and write down anything you discover, such as did another translation use a different English word than meditate? Write out what you think the biblical meanings of the word is based upon its use in the listed passages. Remember that was the passages that you found up above. And then write out how you should apply this teaching in your life. And then list the references that you've used. And again, if you do it on eSword, please just kind of keep in mind whether you're using the Tori Vine, Vine New Testament, Old Testament,
that's
Webster, Strong.
Like mm-hmm. Just it is to look like that.
Yeah.
Is that the Strong's?
No, it's just the eSword thing.
Oh,
it's just not the
yeah. Go get an iPad Pro, you'll be fine.
So anyway, if everyone would do that, I would really appreciate it so that I don't have to talk the whole class next time. Anybody have any questions? I'm down to 2 minutes, so.
This won't be done Sunday morning before church.
No, this is something I'm
going
to have to
run out. Let's meditate, not mediate, right?
Correct, yes. If you have an older copy of the assignment, it says mediate.
I printed this off at the beginning of
the class. Same with Roger's slide. Did you notice the Roger's slide?
It's like, no.
All right, if there's no more questions,